Welcome to the IVF Journey with Dr. Michael Chapman, the podcast for couples who struggle with infertility and want to fulfill their dreams of becoming parents. In this podcast, you'll learn actionable strategies to deal with infertility from Dr. Michael Chapman, or Prof as he's affectionately known. Prof is the co-founder of IVF Australia and is a leading Australian infertility specialist who has helped over 3,000 couples realise their dreams of becoming parents. To access previous episodes packed with ideas, solutions and tips that actually work, head over to Dr. Chapman's IVF podcast on iTunes. You can also ask questions by contacting Dr. Chapman's rooms on 1-800-111-483 or by emailing him, michael.chapman@ivf.com.au.
That first cry of a baby born after the long journey of IVF remains one of the most beautiful experiences in the world. As an obstetrician and an IVF specialist, I've had the privilege of experiencing this over many thousands of times in my long career, but I still remain moved by each baby's first cry. It signifies the end of a long journey and the beginning of a new life. This is Professor Michael Chapman, co-founder of IVF Australia and host of the IVF Journey podcast. Thanks for tuning in. To access all the previous episodes, head over to my website, www.theivfjourney.com, and select IVF Journey Podcast from the navigation menu. You'll also be able to find the various services that we provide at IVF Australia. Today we're going to talk about frozen embryo cycles. These are becoming more and more popular. I'll explain what a frozen cycle is and why we do them. The first frozen embryo cycle that was successful occurred in the early 80s. It was an Australian first. Alan Trounson in his laboratory in Melbourne achieved a pregnancy after freezing an embryo. Since then, the technologies associated with freezing moved forward relatively slowly until around 10 years ago, when a change in technique saw pregnancy rates soar. And in fact, the evidence today would be that a frozen cycle is at least as good as a fresh cycle in terms of pregnancy rates. Some people say it's even better. Some clinics, for instance, in Japan, only do frozen cycles. So why? Why are they successful? You would have thought that taking a bundle of cells and putting them into liquid nitrogen to drop their temperature to minus 76 degrees must damage them and therefore make them less likely to succeed. But that doesn't appear to be the case. The first techniques that were used to freeze were a gradual reduction in temperature of the embryo. This took in the order of an hour to 2 hours. Machines were designed to automatically drop the temperature by a few degrees every few minutes to get them down to that 76 below freezing. And then they were put into a liquid nitrogen container and sat there until they were required. The new technology, which is called vitrification, involves taking the embryo and dropping it directly into the liquid nitrogen. Instant freezing. The embryo has to be prepared beforehand by removing as much water from the cells as possible. But once that's occurred, the freezing process is almost instant. And what we found is that those embryos do far better than the slow freezing technique. The follow-up of those babies after vitrification appears to indicate no ongoing abnormalities, no ongoing problems as these children are growing up. It's very reassuring. So why would we be freezing embryos? Initially, the freezing was done to deal with those embryos that were created that were excess to their use in the fresh cycle. In Australia, we've moved very much to single embryo transfer to avoid the risk
of twins to avoid the risks of the outcomes of preterm delivery, which is associated with twins, the 4 times increase in cerebral palsy, the twice the chance of losing a baby soon after birth. With single embryo transfer, then, we obviously have other embryos to freeze. This gives a couple a second chance, or a third chance, or a fourth chance if cycles are unsuccessful. If they are successful, it gives them the opportunity to have further babies from the same original IVF cycle. I have at least 2 patients who are on their 4th pregnancy from 1 cycle of IVF. That's real value for money. The other reasons for freezing embryos is where the clinician is concerned that pregnancy is less likely to occur and we don't proceed with a fresh cycle. We may also do it where the clinician is worried about ovarian hyperstimulation syndrome, where to put an embryo back will exaggerate the potential for the dangerous condition of severe ovarian hyperstimulation. So your clinician may decide at the time of egg collection or even just before that, that he's going to do a freeze-all. He'll talk to you about that. And you can be reassured that those embryos, when they are thawed, will do as well as the fresh cycle and avoid the issues I've talked about. I mentioned that freezing is done where we think that the pregnancy rate is likely to be reduced. That situation is where the lining of the womb has got out of balance with the egg collection and ultimately the embryo. There has to be synchrony between the stage of development of the lining of the womb and the stage of development of the embryo. When we put back a day 5 embryo, a blastocyst, the lining of the womb has to be the equivalent of 5 days post-ovulation. There are very specific changes that occur in the lining of the womb in preparation for the arrival of an embryo. There are structural changes, there are changes in the secretory products that will nourish the embryo at that particular moment in time. It's called the implantation window. So if the clinician thinks that the implantation window is disturbed in any way, he would prefer to freeze the embryos rather than put them back out of sync. We know, for instance, that if progesterone levels measured in the days leading up to the trigger injection are elevated, the lining of the womb will be brought forward in terms of its changes. And therefore, to put back an embryo in that scenario is associated with a 50% reduction in pregnancy rates. So we freeze the embryo. This occurs in something between 5 and 10% of cycles. It's an important thing to be aware of because it does impact on your chances of success. There's also some evidence that individual women have a problem in the development of the right implantation window at the right time. And artificially dealing with this via hormone therapy in a subsequent cycle has been suggested as important in establishing the best pregnancy rates. The clinics that talk about freeze all for everyone believe that the lining of the womb in an IVF cycle is so different to a natural cycle that we can do better by freezing the embryos. And certainly the endometrium of a fresh cycle is different to a natural cycle. The lining is thicker because of the higher levels of hormones. The substances that are produced by the lining of the womb are different. People have shown differences in the expression of genes compared with a natural cycle. And so there is some validity in the argument, although to date, no large randomized controlled trials have convinced us to go that way for everybody. So what is a frozen embryo cycle? It's basically timing your cycle to put the embryo back at the time when your uterus, your lining of the uterus, is at its most receptive. So there are 3 approaches. The first, if you have a regular 28 to 30 day cycle, is that we do nothing from a hormonal point of view. All we do is monitor the cycle. We're looking for the day of ovulation. We then count the 5 days after ovulation. And on that day, we're assuming that the lining of the womb will be ready for your embryo. Getting the day right is obviously vital, although the implantation window that I mentioned earlier is probably in the order of 12 to 36 hours in width. So it's not absolutely vital to get the day exactly right. If, however, you have an irregular cycle or you do not ovulate, for instance, if you had polycystic ovaries, then we will artificially stimulate ovulation, either using clomiphene or letrozole, or even a very low dose of the FSH injections that you had when you stimulated the IVF cycle originally. Again, we monitor for the day of ovulation and provide some support for the lining of the womb subsequent to the ovulation. Again, counting those 5 days to blastocyst transfer. You can freeze embryos on day 2 or day 3, and the timing process is similar, except obviously going to put it back on the 2nd or 3rd day after ovulation. The third approach to frozen cycles is to use artificial hormones to mimic a cycle. So for 10 to 14 days, we would give estrogen tablets. These prepare the lining of the womb, stimulating the lining of the womb and suppressing your own ovulation. Then we add in progesterone. This is usually done with a vaginal gel or tablets. After 5 days of exposure of the lining of the womb to the progesterone, we then do the blastocyst transfer. We continue with estrogen and progesterone till the pregnancy test and beyond. If the pregnancy test is positive, you'll be on those medications right through until 10 to 12 weeks of pregnancy because your ovaries are not producing those hormones. This last method is obviously more onerous in terms of medication, but is sometimes essential when we can't make a woman ovulate otherwise, or we want to program when we're going to put that embryo back, for instance, over the Christmas New Year period. We can maneuver the cycle around to fit in with your timetable. Success rates with all three are identical. It's more about convenience that we make the judgment as to which one we use. So frozen cycles have changed the face of IVF. With high success rates, similar to fresh cycles, we can now be quite comfortable of optimizing the environment before we put an embryo back. Advances in technology of the last 10 years have made this all possible.
And don't forget that you can access all the previous episodes by going to our website www.theivfjourney.com and select IVF Journey Podcast from the navigation menu.
Thank you for listening to The IVF Journey with Dr. Michael Chapman, the podcast which helps couples negotiate their way through the IVF journey all the way to parenthood. You can also ask questions by contacting Dr. Chapman's rooms on 1-800-111-483 or by emailing him michael.chapman@ivf.com.au.